Hey, this is Daniel Garber, and here each Friday morning reviewing movies for CulturalMining.com and Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM. About 20 years ago, something impossible happened. The Berlin Wall came down, the Eastern Bloc crumbled, the Iron Curtain was lifted, and the Soviet Union ceased to exist. Almost half a century of mutually assured destruction of the never-ending threat of nuclear war was somehow finished. And the world let out a collective sigh so enormous satellite photos show it moved a sand dune in the Gobi Desert. The lingering anxiety at the back of everyone's mind that some nut in the White House or the Kremlin, in a fit of pique or a moment of panic, would press a red button and turn the world to dust and repeat the tragedies of Hiroshima and Nagasaki on a global scale, that anxiety seemed to disappear. The world was safe again. So for almost everybody, things seem to be looking up, except for the movies. How can you make spy movies without the ready-made us and them of the Cold War, the constant thrust and parry of the two sides and the never-ending intrigue of their battle for ideological dominance? Subterfuge, espionage, the arms race, and always the threat of nuclear destruction gave Cold War movies that background that made them feel serious and real and scary. Now everybody's spy movies were for naught. What to do? Well, this week I'm looking at three movies, each with a very different take on the post-Cold War period. First, Salt, directed by Philip Noyce. Salt is an action thriller about a CIA agent, Evelyn Salt, played by Angelina Jolie, who is accused of being a double agent. A Russian spy walks into the CIA and, just like in the Cold War days, says he wants to defect. He claims there was a secret school in the Soviet era that kidnapped and trained from birth special sleeper cells who would blend in with the Americans until the day they are activated. And Salt was one of those agents. An old guard Cold War communist out to assassinate leaders and foment nuclear warfare again to bring things back to the bad old days. The Soviet Union will rise again. Evelyn denies it, but she knows she has to take the law into her own hands and escape. She says three things to set up the plot. I didn't do it, or did she? I've been set up, or was she? And I have to find my husband. Her husband is a milquetoast German arachnologist or spider collector, and that part is for sure. She has to find him. Why? I don't really know, and I just saw the movie. I guess because she loves him. As an aside, I hear she took over the Tom Cruise role, so that would have been his wife. Meanwhile, she's being pursued by two CIA agents. One, Peabody, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, the great British actor from Kinky Boots, who doesn't trust her. The other, Ted, played by Liev Schreiber, who does, but still has to bring her in. Toss in a couple of unsavory Russians hanging out on the waterfront, a great cathedral scene, some impossible car chases, rooftop jumps, and lots of bloody machine gun shootouts, and there you have it. Is she or isn't she? Not going to give it away, but suffice it to say, the movie has lots of holes in the ridiculous plot, which really doesn't hold together. Like, her English starts drifting into Russian accent somewhere in the middle of the movie for no good reason. But never mind. It's a Cold War redux action movie. Lots of fun, but stupid. By the way, this movie couldn't have picked a better time to be released, just a few weeks after that group of undercover Russian spies were discovered to be living and raising families in the States. Next, I Am Love, directed by Luca Guadagnino. The movie starts with a banquet to honor Eduardo, the patriarch of the immensely wealthy Ricci family, a Milan industrialist who founded his fortune on wartime profits for his textile mills. He's passing on the business to his heirs. The Trecchi women, all from outside the clan, are also prominent figures, but feel their existence is slightly more precarious. Emma, wonderfully played by Tilda Swinton, the wife of the second generation, flutters around nervously. She's with the family, but not of the family. She's actually from the former Soviet Union. Her handsome son Eduardo wants to carry on the family's tradition, while her husband, Tancredo, would rather move it into a post-industrial Italy. And Emma herself feels adrift, with a new name, a new language, heritage, culture, and family. One day, her life changes when, on a trip to San Remo, her eyes catch some onion domes at a Kremlin-like Russian Orthodox church. And who does she see but her son's friend, the chef Antonio? Her heart flutters as she takes a step to reclaim her real self and her real desires. This is a terrific movie to watch. It shows the cold, sterile, but magnificent industrial Milan, the wonderful, fecund countryside nearby, the clothes, the food, the family members and the servants, and the shifting relationships, power, and identity of all of them. Emma and her sublimated Russian past, the rivalry between father and son for her affections, her daughter cutting herself loose, the longtime friendships with the maid, the recce women of three generations. Wow. So much to take in with this movie. It's so amazing looking, with lots of fooling around with the camera, recreating the look of early 1970s Italian movies with their lush sumptuousness, the slightly smudgy camera lens, the soft glow of light, along with tons of visual references to Japanese films like Rain Dropping on a Pond, Insects on a Twig, and lots of nice shifts to Emma's subconscious memories, thoughts, and fantasies, but always done visually, not with echoey voiceovers. Lots of what's said is off-camera, overheard in the background, or never mentioned at all. You have to put it together yourself. I Am Love is a simple story, but told so well with great emotional heft. This is a really good movie. Finally, Countdown to Zero, directed by Lucy Walker, is a new documentary on a topic, nuclear warfare, that used to be at the front of everyone's mind, but is now nearly forgotten. This movie says, it's still very much there, and if you don't do something about it, we're all gonna die. And it does its best to scare the bejesus out of you, showing how. The movie shows some startling old footage of atomic testing and traces the history of nuclear proliferation. With the Cold War, mutually assured destruction meant that neither side could go ahead with it. Any bomb flies, the other side sends theirs off too. But now, the movie says, things are even more precarious. More countries have the bomb, more want it, and with the former Union in disarray, there are all these rich piles of yellow cake ready to be nabbed. There's a great prison interview with a Russian dude who wanted a Lamborghini or a deluxe Buick, and that's why he was selling uranium to a potential bad guy. Luckily, he was caught, but all the ones who were caught by chance. So it makes you wonder. Countdown to Zero shows how a bomb is made, who's after it, how it could be launched due to stupidity, miscalculation, or madness, and what would happen if it were. This is a very informative and interesting movie to watch, especially if you don't know much about this topic. Lots of surprising near misses and near disasters most people have never heard about. But the film is extremely manipulative, losing repeated images of terrorist attacks followed by similar shots of everyday life in a city. Will the terrorists get you? Basically, this is a sheep in wolf's clothing, a sober, progressive NPR-style documentary dressed in a Fox News fright wig. Iran, Al-Qaeda, Pakistan. The title, Countdown to Zero, suggests an episode of 24, but what they're really saying is, let's count down the number of nuclear warheads we should have instead. The documentary itself is made mainly of archival footage and the biggest political talking heads there are, Gorbachev, Valerie Plame, Oppenheimer, McNamara, Tony Blair, along with some good animated scenes and a couple amazing new interviews. The thing is, I didn't walk out of the movie scared of a nuclear holocaust. Disarmament is still a very important issue. I just wish they hadn't used American fear and paranoia of terrorism as the main reason to support an important cause. Just to review, today I talked about three very different post-Cold War movies, I Am Love, an Italian with subtitles, and Salt, now playing, and Countdown to Zero, which opens today. Check your local listings. And there will be a remembrance of the 65th anniversary of the bomb on Hiroshima Day at Nathan Phillips Square in Toronto on August 6th. This is Daniel Garber reviewing movies each Friday morning on Take 5, CIUT 89.5, and on my website, culturalmining.com.